This episode is sponsored by Feather Snack. Okay, hold on, y'all. I have to tell you about something that my wife got us into and that my whole family is loving now. Brace yourselves. It's the Feather Snap Scout Smart Bird Feeder. Yes, I said bird feeder. This thing is so cool, and it offers a brand new way to connect with nature and learn about the birds right in your own backyard. Or, if you're like us, living in New York City, it's in your friend's backyard in the country, and you get to use the app connected to it to learn all the stuff. It's got this high-resolution camera that connects to an app, so you can check out a live stream from your feeder. You can take photos and videos of the birds that visit. You can ID the species using expert-trained AI, and you can earn badges along the way. You can even, y'all, learn fun facts about hundreds of species. For example, did you know that American crows can recognize and remember people's faces? And they can even teach their young who's a friend and who's a foe? I know that now, did you? Seriously, the Feather Snap Feeder is entertaining, it's educational, and it's just a whole bunch of fun for the whole family. Check them out today at feathersnapcam.com. That's feathersnapcam.com. All right, y'all. I just want to take a quick second to talk about our sponsor, Sunbasket. I don't know if you know this about me, but I am not a big fan of grocery shopping or meal planning or anything that goes along with any of that. But I do very much care about eating healthy. But when you don't like to grocery shop or plan meals, it is really hard to cook healthy dinners for your family. And that's where Sunbasket comes in. They're a team of dietitians and chefs that design wholesome, nutritious, and delicious meal kits delivered to your door. Each week, you can choose from a brand new selection of quick and easy meal kit recipes with a wide variety of dietary options, plus dozens of snacks, salads, breakfast items, and more. And you can pick and choose from recipe options like vegetarian, Mediterranean, carb conscious, the list goes on. We just had orzo bowls with broccoli, sun-dried tomatoes, and pea stew, and it was delicious. My kids even liked them. I can't speak to Sunbasket more. I love them. Thanks to Sunbasket's commitments to clean ingredients and organic fresh produce, there's no easier way to eat your very, very best. You just have to go to sunbasket.com/queerfam today to save $120 across your first four deliveries. That's sunbasket.com/queerfam to save $120, y'all, across your first four deliveries, plus free shipping on your first order. Go do that. Get some healthy food. There you go.
This episode is brought to you by Bulldog Yoga, Modern Fertility, and Generate Life Sciences. We are soups excited to have them on board, making our show a possibility. Jamie's laughing at me for saying soups.
Soups. Welcome to If These Ovaries Could Talk. I'm Jamie.
I'm Robin.
And we're your hosts.
Let me show you.
Love is love if you don't have to make a family by taking a traditional ride. If these ovaries could talk, you would say.
How do I get the sperm through customs?
I am a lesbian.
So gay.
So gay. We need to tell our story.
It's not your nuclear family anymore. It's not just your mom and dad thing.
We're not ruining these little humans.
Not for the gay reason. Just
because
we
stay. How's everybody doing out there?
Jamie.
Welcome to If These Ovaries Could Talk. This is not sustainable pandemic life edition. No, I'm just kidding. That's not what we're going to talk about today. But this
we
is
might talk about it for a minute. Yeah. I mean, I had this moment this morning because I've been trying to decide about if I'm going to sign my son up for the next round of hybrid. And it's just like there's this realization that we're starting to get things are going to start opening up and but they're not opening up normally. And so it's like worse in a lot of ways. Like I can't be at two different schools at the same time without after school, without busing, without like I can't do it. And then also work. And then also, I don't know. Breathe.
I said it before. I'm going to say it again. This is not the
only way to go is up. But I just feel like we've all been like so excited. And maybe I should just speak. You know how they say when you go to therapy, just speak in I sentences. Also, I say it like this. I have been very excited about the idea of things opening back up. But now I am less excited because I think it's going to stink how everything is opening back up for a while.
Well,
maybe
you know,
the fall.
I have been feeling recently
this is,
like.
This is
like
a look into me and Jamie at BetterHelp. I feel, go ahead, Jamie.
I heard you, Robin. I heard what you said. What I think you said to me was, no, I'm just kidding. I have been feeling actually a little more optimistic, I think, than you. I have been feeling a little bit like we're starting to get things back to kind of normal. And it, yes, it is a new normal, but we're figuring life out in a pandemic and we're making it as normal as we possibly can, sure. Which makes me feel a little better. Like schools are kind of opening. Restaurants are kind
Movie
of
theaters
open.
Are
like,
kind of
we're
opening.
Figured out a way. We've figured out a way to get some of our creature comforts yeah. back in a modified way. And actually, that's making me feel a little bit better. Not that I'm going into know, restaurants not, or not that I'm going well, into like nail salons. I walk by nail salons and there's like 20 people. What is happening?
I don't know. I mean, but a bunch of my friends, you know, who maybe have pre-existing conditions or other things have gotten vaccines or their teachers. And that makes me feel hopeful. Like, you know, like, oh God, with a vaccine, I'd put a mask on or double mask and I would go into the movie theater and be part of that 25%, I think. That part gives me hope, but it's more just like the mom struggle of like how, like when you take away things, like they're not even really like, they're providing some sort of like half-assed lunch. My daughter was just like, it's not really a lunch they're giving us. No. It's either like a bowl of cereal or some weird sandwich. And I'm like, so it's like on top of like, there's no sandwiches, there's no busing, there's no like I need the structure things back in place as a mom. So
it's a new
yeah
structure.
And it's that's the part it's that was like it was just a moment of awareness of like, oh, it's not gonna be the way it was for a while. Mm-mm. And then I was like,
we're gonna have to keep
maybe
modifying.
The fall, like I just keep pushing
yeah,
it back.
I know.
I'm like the QAnon
it's,
people.
It's tough.
March 4th.
No, don't even mention
kidding.
Us and them.
They're
the
just
same.
Like doomsdayers. They keep like pushing the date back about when Trump will be president yeah. again. Whatever.
He's not. I'm scared because Anne is going back yeah. to work yep. on Wednesday. She's going back into the school building, which means I am here homeschooling. I had help from her this whole year. We have kind of tag teamed as much as we could, and now it's going to all fall on everything. Like, I'm really,
yeah.
I'm scared.
Well, I mean, that's
nervous,
sort of where I am, too. Like, you know, Mary has gotten this new job, and it's wall-to-wall meetings. Like, she might have a meeting at 8 p.m. at night, and she is, like, mm-hmm. unavailable. So it's, for the most part, yeah. I've got to handle it. And it's, you know, it's we're all juggling.
It's really hard. It's really hard to be a parent right yeah. now during a pandemic. Yeah. And you're still trying to pay
and
your
bills.
And
we're at the 1 year mark, you know? It's like, that's the fatigue. Yeah. But only way to go is up, Jamie. It's going
to
get better.
Only way to go is up. Let's transition to something a little more,
okay.
a little more happy, a little more exciting. Okay, so last week's live stream, we talked about, some listeners had DM'd us asking about, they're grappling with the whole circumcision question. Like, they don't even have their son yet, but that's how intentional we are when we start our baby making process. They're not even pregnant yet, but they're thinking, what are we going to do about this circumcision question? Which was great and amazing. So we brought that up in our live
stream.
And
we invited Marissa and Rebecca on to talk about it.
Yes. And we had a really great discussion about it because it is something to grapple with. At least I know I did. And then so we got this message after it had aired. We got this message from a listener or a watcher, whatever you want to call. Oh,
yeah.
Go ahead.
Okay, so Robin. Yeah, this was on our YouTube. By the way, this was among a whole bunch of comments that we got from like men, angry men, talking about circumcision, which I thought was kind of funny.
Well, you don't know if they were angry, but they're very passionate about not
circumcising. There was a lot of those comments. But amongst those was Joanne Willoughby, who said, I am so sorry I missed you guys live. I was looking after my 2-year-old granddaughter, so I'm catching you guys now. My daughter is so saucy. When I told her about my If These Ovaries Could Talk friends, she said, oh, your YouTube friends, Mom? I said, yeah, Robin and Jamie, and they are so informative, funny, and overall awesome. I got her to watch the video with me, and she loves you both and wants to be your friend, too. Big smiley face tears. Of course, she loves you both. Wonderful. She was, ironically enough, spackling and putting up drywall in her porch. And we talked about lesbians drywalling in this live stream episode. And she's a single mom, smart, very pretty, tiny. She's a welder and really handy. And her mantra is, who needs a man? Not this badass mama.
How good is this comment?
I was going to add that when I had my son, he's now 23, I made the decision to not circumcise him. His father wanted it done. Second side note, his father is an idiot and wasn't any help, not just with this decision, but in general. But doctors were really pushing for not doing it. So I followed their advice and he thankfully didn't have any problems.
I just love Joanne.
The best comment ever? Joanne Willoughby, we love you.
Thank you, Joanne, for that.
It's As soon as it showed up in the Ovaries Talk inbox, I forwarded it to Jamie immediately. It was like, this is awesome.
This is everything. So we just love that. And if you haven't caught our live streams yet, they are really a lot of fun. And we get to chat with you and it's fun. So tune in because we talk about all kinds of topics.
Yeah, and if you have a topic you want to talk about, hit us up at ovariestalk@gmail.com and we might bring you in. You never know.
And it doesn't necessarily have to be LGBTQ related. Can you imagine?
We like to talk about what we're watching on television and pop culture and the Golden Globes and things like that.
Or how I thought that Jodie Foster came out last night at the Golden Globes and everybody schooled me differently. She already came out, apparently, but she's never kissed her wife on screen. So
listen,
there's that.
Jamie, you were busy making babies. You missed it. It's okay.
Love Jodie Foster.
All right, let's move on and say if you want to join our Patreon community, we would not be, it would be impossible for us to be more thankful if you joined our Patreon community.
True.
It does help us make this show. And there's a special bonus for you. You get bonus content of video interviews of most all of our episodes. And we drop those a day early and they're unedited at the gestational carrier level. So if you want to support the podcast, just head over to patreon.com/ovariestalk.
Go do that because it's awesome. All right, let's get into our guest.
Let's not get into her.
Jenna,
that sounds dirty, Jamie.
Okay, let's let's talk about our guest. Her name is Jenna Jaffe, and this lady is a mover and a shaker.
Yes, and you might know her from her Instagram account. She got some crazy little following over there. But we know her from the Living Rosa ladies who hooked us up with her. We also love them.
We love them. Everybody loves them. And she just launched a new organization called Connecting Rainbows, and you're going to hear more about that in the episode. And I think we should just wake Helen up and tell her to roll the tape.
I was going
to
say,
wake her up because I'm so tired of waking her up.
You're going to hear more of it. She's so grumpy when you wake her up. You're going to hear more of it when Helen feels like rolling the tape. Should we wait?
I think if we wait, never going
to
happen.
Helen, do I have to do it myself?
She's not waking up. I don't know.
Listen, set an alarm. Set an alarm.
All right, she's just doing it. Every she's week doing it. Is push a button.
That's it. That's it. She's got one job. Hi, Jenna.
Hi, Jenna.
How are you?
I'm good.
Welcome.
Welcome to our ovaries. It's always weird when I say that, but I continue to say it. I know. I don't know why.
Well, let's start, Jenna, where we always do, with your elevator pitch, your 30-second elevator pitch. And not to panic you, but I am going to put up a little clock on the screen.
Let's see how we do.
All right. On your mark, get set, go.
Okay. Hello. Don't put it up there. I am Jenna Jaffe. My wife and I have two beautiful children through reciprocal IVF. And I just started a new business called Connecting Rainbows, where we are connecting LGBTQ plus individuals and families with lawyers who specialize in working with the community, and then also providing fertility resources to help. Boom, 24.
Look at that.
That was amazing.
That's really good.
Really good. I guess when you do reciprocal IVF, you don't have to say, all you have to say is, I did reciprocal IVF, and you don't have to say, I carried the babies, and blah, blah, blah. Although we're going to have to get into that.
Oh, yeah,
obviously.
We'll get into that.
But a big portion is taken care of with reciprocal IVF.
And we were connected with you through Living Rosa, right?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, through Tara.
I love those ladies.
I know. They're so delightful. And they're doing good work. And you're doing good work. And so we hopped on the phone call. And we were like, obviously, we have to have Jenna on this podcast immediately. Obviously. And here you are.
And here I am.
With your Buddha behind you. Your house looks very soothing and calm.
I know. And you have young kids.
This is my son's bedroom.
What?
Oh.
Yeah, he doesn't sleep here, though. He sleeps in our bed, so that's why. It's nice and clean. Yeah.
We had one of those for a
long
time.
How old is your son? Because that Buddha looks like something that could just be leveled on someone. Like,
this is normally not here. I've redecorated for the office. He's 4. He likes Buddha, though. We have a big Buddha painting in our bedroom, so he's about the Buddha.
Is he in pre-K?
Yes. He's in preschool. He just turned 4, so he's in preschool.
Let's get into the kids and how they were made and the reciprocal IVF. Let's talk about that. How did you all decide that's what you were going to do?
It was not the plan originally. I mean, what goes according to plan?
They always change.
Exactly. So my wife is 3 years older. So we were like, okay, you go first. You know, she always had a desire to carry. And so we started the process and we were like, okay, we'll both do IUI, not at the same time, so that we can each carry and each have a biological child, right? Because that seems important before you have children. So then we started the process and my wife has anxiety and started lowering her meds, and that was a bit of a disaster. I love you, Jordana, if you're listening to this.
She's by the way, we are constantly bashing our wives and then being like, love you. Just kidding. JK.
She owns it. She owns it. We're very big on mental health. I've got depression. She's got anxiety. It's like a party. We just put our dog in anxiety meds. Like, it's just, you know, so it was just not going to be a good thing to not be on the good drugs. So I said to her, hey, why don't I go first? And she was like, well, I don't want to give up being pregnant and having a biological child, since that was like a dream of hers. And I said, okay, well, why don't I carry your egg? I don't know. Wait, I didn't know anyone that did this. But we found an Instagram community, other lesbians who did reciprocal IVF. So we had kind of started learning about that option.
And you know what's funny is so many people think they invented it. Like, we've heard so many people say that same thing. They're like, I'd never heard of it. We had one lesbian couple who literally said, we thought we invented something very cool.
And that's funny.
And then so many people who do it, which is, I think that's fascinating.
Because it's just like, it's one of the dreams. It's like, wouldn't it be great if I could just carry your egg? But you don't think that somebody could have actually invented that. It's amazing that it works.
Yeah.
So, okay.
Well, it's also surrogacy.
Yeah, basically.
They've been doing this for a really long time with you know, straight people.
But yet we're all like, we did something special.
Lesbians got something cool.
It is basically surrogacy. I never even thought of that. That's hilarious.
But it's really cool, like, in lesbian context of fully feeling like it's kind of biologically both of yours, even though it's not, you know.
Well, the baby is literally made from your bones. You know, so it's like the genetic blueprint comes from the one partner, but the bones of your child are pulled from that person. So it is a baby made of both people.
So there's actually something called epigenetics.
Yeah.
Where the DNA of, you know, me was pulled into, you know, the baby. So
yeah, we learned that from a doctor, and he was basically said that what genes are turned on and off are affected by the carrier. And that's like why it's so important. When you know, in surrogacy, who your carrier is.
Right.
It's amazing.
So basically, you know, it took her, I guess, about a day of grieving, and then was like, wait, this is so cool. I don't have to be pregnant. I don't have to go through all that. She's like, I just lucked out. We did that and had our son, and we were there. I mean, there were bumps in the road. There was that bump. I had to have surgery. They found a cyst on my ovary, but Parker was our first transfer.
Oh, amazing.
We were really lucky. So it took, you know, I mean, it took time because we had to navigate the ups and the downs and the bumps and all that.
And I want to ask about insurance. Was it hard to, did your insurance cover this? No.
So at the time, so we had moved from Manhattan back down to the suburbs near where I grew up because we didn't want to raise a family in New York. And we were like, we can't afford that. You guys are like, I don't know how, you know, you get it.
Yeah.
I'm doing it and I can't afford it. This morning was thinking, this is stupid. Why are we doing this? So yes, I get
also, it. Also, it's so hard. I'm always like, are we living the hardest possible way? And the answer is always like,
yeah. But my wife grew up in Manhattan. So, you know, she experienced that. And, you know, we have a yard. We have two floors. Nice. We have a garage.
Oh, God.
So jealous.
Right. So when we moved down here, we were like, oh, we'll rent to make sure we're going to stay. So we used our house fund initially for that.
Right. You weren't even planning this route. So all of a sudden you're like, okay, we're going to do this. You got to pull this money together out of your butts. That's literally, it happens to so many people.
Out of your butts is a very classy way of describing that, Jamie.
I mean.
And it happens to so many people. It happened to me. Like our route didn't go the way we thought it was going to go. And we literally had to pull money because it was down to the last minute, and oh my God, we need this money. So it's just interesting that a lot of us end up in situations like this where
And I mean, you're not like suddenly you're writing a check for $13,000.
Yeah.
Literally.
It had to pay in full in one day.
Yeah.
You know, and insurance covered IUIs, but not IVF. The thing with fertility is that it's not, insurance doesn't have to cover it.
Right.
And we were also self-employed. So, you know, it's not like we had a company. And when we got our insurance, we didn't think to pick one. I don't know. You just don't think of these things.
Right. And it's a problem because we were in a position, luckily, where we could pull money out of our butts, to use the scientific term, and pay for this. But there's a lot of people who can't pull money out of their butts for this. And so insurance needs to change. I want to say that. I just want to put that out there, that we realize that we are lucky that we were able to even pull money out of our butts.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of people can't.
We were very, very blessed, very grateful that we were able to do that. You know, again, it was, we were like, oh, I guess we'll have a baby instead of buying a house.
Right.
Yeah. Renting seems fine.
Wait, yeah. No. Then my son is 10 weeks old and we get an email from our landlord that she's moving back and we have to move. So then we did buy a house.
Wow. Oh, geez.
Jamie, I have very exciting news for you. I used our new offer with Bulldog Yoga, and I am now a convert.
What?
I know. I am as shocked as you are. What? But you were, last week, you were rambling on about the amazing benefits of yoga and the increased strength and mm-hmm. better flexibility, mm-hmm. improved mental focus. Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay, I have to try yoga again. See? And the fact that Bulldog Yoga is online was so much better because yoga is so intimidating.
Well, that's Bulldog Yoga's whole point, Robin. Bulldog Yoga Online is taking the intimidation out of yoga and replacing it with music, smiles, and no judgment, zero judgment. And they make yoga fun. I love it. And I feel so ironed out after my classes. I love it.
And I have to say, I found the Bulldog classes to be easy to follow. They set to great mm-hmm, playlists mm-hmm. and they were motivating me and they kept me and my family smiling through the movements.
Well, look at you, the whole family.
I mean, there's choices. I know there's choices for all levels, from beginner classes to heart pumping workouts. And there are tons of class length options to fit my schedule, Jamie. And we're talking like classes from 12 minutes to 60 minutes.
Yeah, no, it's great. You can do any, you can find anything. And go you, Robin.
Thanks, Jamie.
You know, I took a class with my daughter and it was actually fun. I mean, anything that can keep my kid occupied is a win right now. But also, Bulldog streaming online classes are available on demand anytime, any place on your schedule. Anytime you need
it. Jamie, maybe we should do a class together. Let's bring in the competition.
Oh, hell yeah. Okay.
Let's do it. Wait, never mind.
Guys at home, try your first 30 days for free at bulldogonline.com.
Bulldogonline.com.
Use the code OCT for an additional 50% off your first paid month, guys. Again, that's bulldogonline.com, coupon code OCT.
I have like two questions. If like when you did the initial egg retrieval, did you get like embryos that like enough that you were able to like have both your kids, or did you have to do that again? And then I want to know about donor, if you did a known donor or what you did there.
So we had two remaining embryos from my son. Mm-hmm. And when we went to have baby two, it was, okay, do I want a biological child? Is that important to me anymore? And after we had Parker, I was like, he couldn't be any more my kid. Like he's like, right. He's my kid. And I think he's perfect and he's so cute. Like, why would I not want another one of him? So initially we were going to do IUI, and then I called the doctor and I was like, no, I changed my mind. We're going to do reciprocal IVF. We have these two embryos. So I went to do the transfer once everything was ready, and the one embryo did not survive the thaw process. Mm. So we had one embryo remaining and it didn't take.
That's heartbreaking.
Crap, we're back to square one.
Especially because you just wrapped your head around this. I don't need to have the genetics. Yes. I want to do it this way. I want another Parker. Like, it's heartbreaking.
Naively, we're like, oh, our two babies are just there. Like, how cool will it be? Like, when our kids are older, we'll be like, you guys were all created in 2016, but you were born in 2020, you know?
Yeah.
And this is not to say that I believe that it's a person being frozen and politically, whatever. But for us, that was a wanted baby.
Yeah.
Right.
So here we are back at square one. Mm. And so it's okay. Are we going to do another egg retrieval then with Jordana's eggs, or are we going to do IUI? Or they were doing actually an IVF study at my clinic, but it would have had to have been my eggs.
Okay.
But it would have been free.
Wow.
Whoa. What?
Whoa.
Are you telling me that you had an opportunity to go free and you said no, thank you?
Yes.
I don't know.
What?
Wow. I said no.
You know what I love about that, though? You were like, knew how you wanted to create your family, and you were like, this is how we're going to do it. It's not about the money. That's incredible.
I mean, I just, yeah, I wanted Jordana to be involved and be a part of it. And I think that was, you know, for her, she said to me, like, look, this is not my decision because I don't want to take anything away from you if you want to have a biological child. But mm-hmm. if it's not important to you, then I would like to be included. So we said, okay, let's do another egg retrieval. So she goes, has testing done, and she had a fibroid the first time. Well, the fibroid grew a lot. Yeah. A lot.
All that fertility meds.
They say
estrogen causes the fibroids to grow.
But the other thing that's annoying about this is they just don't know. They don't know the effects.
She had no symptoms, no anything, no whatever. And they were like, you need to go see a gynecological oncologist. And she's like, what? What?
Oh, geez.
Because it grew so rapidly, so quickly.
Right.
Cut to, we did not see an oncologist. We saw our regular gyno who was like, you're good. But she needed a hysterectomy.
Oh, no.
So it was that big. And also, it was, I mean, partially originally her choice of like, hey, it's probably going to grow back and you're probably going to have another surgery. But then when the doctor got in there, she's like, I would have had to take her uterus out. It was like where it was. But they kept her ovaries. So took everything else out so we could still use the eggs. And she wouldn't go into menopause.
I was just going to say, because there's many things that stink about a hysterectomy, but being forced into menopause long before your time is difficult, I've heard.
So this is actually the coolest part of it all. She can no longer get uterine cancer, cervical cancer, and most likely ovarian cancer, because ovarian cancer starts in the tubes they're finding, and she doesn't have tubes anymore.
So it's almost like she's just got like two receptacles for eggs. Basically, that's all that's left. And all the rest
she's
of the parts
are- She's got two egg makers.
She's just an egg
She's
maker.
Got two incubators.
But the eggs are already made though, right? Aren't the eggs already made?
Yeah, they're
all
in there.
They just
grow.
Because it is one egg that starts getting bigger and then it drops down the fallopian tube. And then, I mean, I'm like, oh my God, we should know better.
Where does it go?
It just stays in there and then they retrieve it out of there, I guess.
I don't know.
We need a doctor to tell us.
I totally asked and they've said something.
We should have your doctor send us a voice memo.
So I was on a podcast this morning. If these ovaries could talk. And we were talking about how Jordana had a partial hysterectomy. So she's got her ovaries, but nothing else. And they asked me, well, what happens to the eggs when they release them? And I was like, I think they disappear, but I don't know. So what happens to those eggs?
They just get reabsorbed.
They get reabsorbed into the body. So there's
into the body. So the ovary releases. The follicle forms and it releases and it just reabsorbs within the body.
Got it. All right, cool. That's it.
So she still has her ovaries, which means you can still do reciprocal IVF.
Yeah.
Amazing.
We had to wait, though, for her to heal. And, you know, when you want a baby, you want one yesterday. So I was like, hey, let's do IUI while we're waiting. You know, I feel like maybe this is a sign. Let's just try. So we ended up doing three IUIs. None of them worked because it was like for at least 2 months, she couldn't do an egg retrieval. Yep. So we're like, okay, didn't work. You're cleared now. Let's do this. Let's do reciprocal IVF again.
Okay, Robin, what if I told you you could get important fertility insight without going to the doctor or even get this, leaving home?
Ooh.
Modern fertility makes that possible with easy at-home fertility hormone testing. Boom.
I would say, tell me more.
Well, yeah, you would. And I'm about to. Because modern fertility, listen to this, was created to make testing your fertility hormones easy. You just give yourself a simple finger prick at home, and then you mail it in with a prepaid label that they give you, and you'll get your personalized results within 10 days. Beautiful.
You know, I love that you're talking about this, because we talk about how expensive our paths to parenthood are all the time. Mm-hmm. Traditional testing with your doctor, it can cost over $1,000. But modern fertility only costs $159, and you're going to get the same information. Mm-hmm. Oh, and if you go to modernfertility.com/OCT, you are going to get $20 off your test. Save that money on this journey, people.
Yes. Also, if you have an HSA or FSA, you can use those dollars on Modern Fertility. It's amazing.
Oh my God. And you're going to get insight into how many eggs you have.
Hormone levels and other important fertility factors.
I mean, the results go deep into what every hormone means. And you can also talk one-on-one with a fertility nurse to review your results and options for next steps, which I love.
Love. So if you're ready to start this baby-making journey, this might be the right place to start for you.
Mm-hmm. Right now, very exciting news, Modern Fertility is offering our listeners $20 off the test when you go to modernfertility.com/OCT.
That means your test is going to cost $139 instead of the hundreds or thousands it could cost at a doctor's office.
Get $20 off your fertility test, folks, when you go to modernfertility.com/OCT.
Modernfertility.com/OCT.
So we started that process again, and my wife's mom died. And she was very sick. But this is what's really cool. I got pregnant 3 weeks later with a girl. And we named her after her. So, and like her mom only ever wanted girls. Like, and she's Jordana's one of three girls. And within a year after her mom passed, we had a girl, her sister had a girl, and then her mom's best friend's daughter had a girl, and we all named after her, like different iterations and variations.
Yeah, it really is the universe. Just your kids that are supposed to be your kids come to you. I believe that. And with every story, I believe it even more firmly.
Right. Yeah. Especially with, you know, you even went out, you said, let's do some IUIs in the middle of this. And they didn't take, you know, it's just really, yeah, it reiterates.
I can say it now because I'm past it, but I think that your baby comes to you when your baby's supposed to come, and you're so glad it's that baby.
Yep.
So glad I didn't get pregnant all those times.
Yeah.
It wouldn't have been her, you know, and I can't imagine it being any other baby.
Yeah.
Yeah. I get that. Totally.
Now, do you still have more embryos left over? Or are you having more?
You do.
We have two embryos left over. We are undecided.
Yeah. I mean, take it. How old is, what is her name?
Her name's Josie.
The baby? Josie. How old is Josie?
Love that name.
She's 10 months.
Oh, geez. For God's sakes, don't even answer that question. Be like, shut up, yeah. Robin.
I mean, we're older, so I don't know. It would be sooner than not like soon as in like in the next few months, but it, you know, our kids are 3 years apart. Mm-hmm. They would be not 3 years apart, but I don't know. Yeah. I had really hard pregnancies. I don't know if I could do it again.
Oh, really? It's tough, right? I can't believe you did it again. Good for you.
As hard as it was and as sick as I was, like there's just something so special about, you know, just having your arm on your belly and rubbing your belly.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I love breastfeeding and just the bond for that, you know, it's just really special.
Tell us about the donor. Ding, ding, ding.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Our kids are 100% siblings, like 100% related DNA, mm-hmm. whatever. We went through Fairfax Cryobank.
Uh-huh.
So we had the option of using a known donor, but we just weren't, for us personally, and I think it's so cool that some people do this. I didn't want that complicated layer mm-hmm. of this is, you know, Uncle So-and-so, but also your biological DNA. Right. I don't, you know, and because look, friendships fade.
Yeah.
And it just adds something a little complicated. So we were like, you know what? Let's go through a sperm bank, but let's use an open donor.
Yep.
So mm-hmm. for us, we personally felt like it's not our choice whether or not our children have the opportunity to ever connect with the donor. We don't feel like that's our decision to make for them.
Yep.
I hope they reach out. I want to meet him so badly. We were like, we need to buy him a house or something. Like, you know, like, here's
that's what I have.
Maybe just a t-shirt. The house feels extra.
How about an ovaries talk mug?
Great. No, it's just like, what a gift he has given our family that I can never repay him for what he did. And I just, it's funny, my wife and I were talking the other day and we were like, I wonder what his parents think about this. Like, they've got like biological grandbabies running around the world.
Yeah.
You know, because like, we're not the only kids.
No. You know of the other kids you're in touch?
No. So we were the first pregnancy. We know that there are others, but we have not been in touch. So for me, at least initially, I think I felt threatened since I wasn't biologically connected to reach out. But I'm not closed permanently. It's just shut. It's not locked. I don't know that I'm ready for that.
I think everybody has their own process. We haven't found ours yet. I'm just like, I'm not in a rush to find them. I don't know.
And I mean, my kids at least are at the age where it's not like I'd be explaining anything to them really.
Right.
And look, there's some complicated layers of, there's some dude that we don't know that helped make you. And then surprise, you have other people that are, I don't know. I mean, and I know people that have connected and it's like amazing. And they're like cousins, you know, that call or whatever.
Yeah.
Like they're, you know, they're close. I don't know. I'm not there yet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jamie and I talk about that a lot because my kids have two different donors and we have a Facebook group for each of the donors. And one of Maxine's, my daughter's siblings, lives 10 blocks from us. It's like the weirdest thing. We lived within a block of each other for almost 2 years and never knew it, which is like so bizarre. And they look alike and it's weird. And and they will text each other. But I, even among my two kids, one is interested, one is not. So it's like, we just put the information out there and then we let them decide what they want to do with it. You know, but Jamie hasn't made those connections, and that's okay too. It's like whatever works for you, I think.
I mean, my kids know the story, so they know that there wasn't a donor who helped create them. We've been telling that story their whole lives.
Yep.
But my daughter is now 7, and she's of the age where we need to start bringing in the truth of the matter, in that there are siblings out there in the world. We have to start bringing that conversation to her now, because I think if we wait too long, it's going to be a shock and it's going to feel like a betrayal. So we're just now trying to bridge how we add that element to her story.
Yeah. I mean, we had that same hurdle with trying to explain that they had different donors. Like, these are siblings to your donor. These are siblings to your donor. And that was really, I couldn't figure out how we were going to do it. And then one day we just did. Like, we just, like, it just went, as we were telling the story, I was just like, yeah, like, you two have different donors. And so there are some kids that have the same donor as you, and some, and then we kept adding on to that. But it was like, that was a hurdle. I was like, I don't even understand. Like, I was concerned if they would be able to understand it, and it almost didn't matter. I just started saying it.
I haven't even thought about like explaining it to my kids. I'm like trying to wrap my head around for myself.
Get the book.
Get a
book.
I do think the younger, the better, just to start the conversation. Robin, it is my favorite time of the podcast right here, because this is the time we get to tell everyone about the special code we have for folks who need sperm to start their families.
Oh, God, yes. You guys, California Cryobank is offering all of you, our listeners, a free level 2 donor information subscription for 90 days. That is worth 145 American whole dollars.
You guys, this subscription gives you access to extended donor profiles, childhood photos, and adult photos for some of the donors. It gives you access to their medical histories. You can read personal essays they've written. Listen, I couldn't have picked my donor without all of that extra stuff, and I don't think you could have either, Robin. California Cryobank offers 14 different donor information items to help you guys select the best donor for yourselves. And let me tell you, when you start this search for the Superman, as we like to call it, you want everything you can get on these guys, really. Of course.
So you're going to get 90 days with access to all level 2 perks. And that's plenty of time to pick a donor, I believe. I'm just saying.
Ooh. Also, you're going to get a donor keepsake, which is a special USB drive that includes digital files of all of your donor level 2 or level 3 subscription information items. So it's all in this nice little USB drive. And this keepsake allows you to preserve your donor's information to share with your child one day. It's amazing.
So if you're ready to start building your family, and you probably are if you're listening to this podcast, you're going to head over to cryobank.com, open a free account, and you use the code OCT, and that will activate your free subscription today.
That's cryobank.com, CRYOBANK.com. Let's go make those babies.
So many babies. Let's make some more babies. More over-talk so babies. What I find interesting is, like, I had some of the same reactions that you did about, like, why you wanted to, or that it was, you know, that you wanted it to be your own and all of that stuff. But I think it's interesting because I'm also the one who's very, like, about the things being buttoned up and the legal. And I think it's interesting because you're a lawyer. So tell us a little bit about how that, you being a lawyer and all of the stuff, helped you start your new business. Tell us about that.
Yeah, no, so excited. So yes, I'm a lawyer, but I do business law. So I don't do anything in terms of family stuff like that. But because I'm a lawyer, I talk about, you know, legal stuff on my Instagram and social media and all of that. So for the past few years, I've had a blog. I'm like not very good at keeping up with it, but
who is?
But we shared our fertility journeys with our kids on social media. For us, you know, we found such comfort and such connection in other people doing that. So we wanted to kind of share ours as well to just help other people kind of navigate what they're going through. And, you know, from that, of course, I get a ton of questions about fertility. Then we went through the second parent adoption process with our kids.
Boo, second parent. I'm sorry. Just kidding.
Yeah.
It's such a pain in the butt.
So what most people don't know, and interestingly enough, a lot of lawyers don't know either, is that the birth certificate is not enough. Both parents can be on the birth certificate. That does not mean that you are granted full legal parental rights. So when I started talking about this on my Instagram of like, hey, how crazy is this? We've got to, and ironically, Jordana had to adopt her own biological kids because of where we had our kids. Every state is different.
Yeah. Which state are you in?
So we live in Pennsylvania, but we delivered in New Jersey. So in New Jersey, the carrying mother is considered the legal parent. The biological one is not. Backwards and weird. And yes.
It's just crazy.
So from talking about this and sharing our journey, people were like, wait, what? Like, well, what about in this state, in this state, in this state? And I was like, no, none of the states. So they were like, do you know any lawyers? And I'm like, I don't, but I can look. I can try to find some for you. Like, cool. Mm-hmm. And then in October, when Amy Coney Barrett was nominated, I was like, y'all, here are some things that you're going to want to put into place. God forbid something were to happen. And I said, you know, wills, power of attorney, healthcare proxy, and adopt your kids. Right. And I said, like, look, this is not my area of law. So go find yourself a lawyer that specializes in this. Clearly, lots of questions from that. So this idea started forming in my mind at the end of 2020. Maybe I'll put together like a little legal directory of attorneys that not only specialize in adoption, family formation, and estate planning, but also that can work with the LGBTQ plus community.
Because that's important. It is, and a lot of these attorneys will say, oh yeah, I can work with LGBTQ, but they haven't done the research. They don't really know the ins and outs. They don't cater to our community. And that it's an important factor. It needs to be somebody who really will cater to the LGBTQ community and form a practice around that.
Yeah, there's a difference between you being nice to me because I'm a gay and knowing what you're doing in terms of the cases.
Exactly. And the law.
Yeah.
And it's interesting. A lot of these lawyers that I'm speaking with have to educate judges around it as well. And there's a lot of legislation coming forward and a lot of change. And I think that, look, we're making good progress and like fingers crossed the Supreme Court doesn't touch any of our stuff. But we don't know. So I said, you know what? I'm going to find these people. I'm going to find a lawyer in every state that specializes in these areas of law and also working with the gay queer community. So that little idea of like, hey, I'm going to create a free directory exploded into this massive organization that now is going to have fertility resources. And we have a blog and we have a YouTube channel and ultimately probably a podcast. And, you know, this is just me running all this. And this is a little over a month old. And we're launching next week. Like, we're going for it. I haven't connected with every lawyer because it's, again, just me. And I've got two kids. And, you know, why not start a crazy big business during a pandemic with two young children?
Yeah. Well, hey, that's how you do.
So we're familiar with the just me. I made Jamie take a call from the hospital after a C-section. And she was like, I was like, do you want to be on this call? And she was like, I think you can take the call. And I was like, okay. Because we were starting things up and she was like, when she was 8 months pregnant.
Oh my goodness.
It is a lot. But like, that's the thing. When you find an idea that there's a need for, that you're passionate about, it just starts rolling.
No, so within like a week of me saying like, hey, I'm gonna do this, I had over 200 people fill out a form that they wanted to be connected to a lawyer. So I was like, oh, this is a need.
Yeah.
This is very needed. And so the whole kind of theme of the site is to start, grow, and protect your family. So it's the only comprehensive database that does both fertility and legal. Individually, you can find resources other places. But what I love about this, obviously it's mine, but is that I'm connecting personally with anyone that's listed on this directory. And there's only going to be a very small handful of attorneys per state. I want to take the stress and overwhelm out of finding a lawyer for people. If you go to some of these directories, there's like 20 attorneys on there. And you're like, I guess I start at the top of the list.
Right.
Yeah, it's my way down.
Usually I go, let's look for the women.
Yeah.
Start with the women. And then I'm like, that's an interesting name. That's how I do it.
Yeah. Let's try that one.
Well, one thing I'm finding is that in the entire country, so I'm going through other directories myself to look through. There are zero Black attorneys that do family formation and adoption.
Really?
None. There's one
brown. I wonder why.
So somebody said to me, it's because guess who's doing fertility? White people, because they can afford it. So I'm on a mission now to find or help someone start their own practice that does this, a Black attorney. It is remarkable, the websites and just seeing the attorney profiles. I mean, it's 99% white.
Yeah.
So that's been very eye-opening for me to kind of see that, because I'm trying to make this website as diverse and inclusive as possible. You know, we're talking trans issues, non-binary, pansexual, you know, we're having pregnant men featured on there, you know, covering all the things, you know, so it's been really interesting to see that.
Yeah. So when it's all said and done, I can come to you for a resource to find someone for second parent adoption, but I could also come to you for a resource for what else?
Wills, trusts, power of attorneys, advanced medical directives, that kind of law, or like surrogacy contracts, sperm donor agreements, if you're like using a known donor, that's really important. And then of course, tying all that into your estate plan.
Yep.
So your wills.
So smart.
Like that. Yeah. So, and then of course there'll be fertility resources. I'm interviewing my doctor. We're doing kind of an Ask the Expert series on different fertility stuff. And then I'll be interviewing lawyers as well. And they're going to contribute blog posts. I just wanted it to be a space. I find education empowering. I want it to be a space where people come and they kind of understand what it is that they need to know, what to ask when they go to a doctor or a lawyer, and then to feel safe, a place where they feel less alone and included and not as scared in whatever it is they're going through, whether it's coming out, whether it's transitioning, whether it's going through fertility.
That's so great. Amazing.
I mean, to know that it's vetted and to know that you don't have to, because it is, everything is piecemeal. Okay, let me get this person from over here. Let me ask my friend who knows somebody who does wills over here. Yep. It's so piecemeal. And just to know that all of these sources are vetted and you can find them in the same place and learn while you're doing it, it's great. Really,
and also smart. The state-by-state thing is just so, I mean, we'll get emails a lot from people asking about like second parent adoption, and especially like states where like we've heard from people in Hawaii where they, because they have certain things on the books there and gay marriage, whatever, they'll have lawyers who will tell them they don't need second parent adoption. And I am always like, you still should get it. You still, I don't care what they said, you should still get it. And to have some lawyers in that state that that person can then reach out to that's been vetted by you, I think that's really helpful.
Even I even spoke to a lawyer this week who does this type of law, who was like, oh, well, if you're married, you're fine. I'm like,
come on.
No, you're not.
No.
They were like, where are you getting this information? And I was like, I'll email you some articles.
Yeah.
And now you're not on the list.
Yeah.
That's the problem. That's the problem.
I mean, we had at least two people who email us and say they called a lawyer and the lawyer was like, I won't take your money and like just make it a big thing of it. And I was just like, no, like still do second parent adoption.
I do want to say that, look, if you don't leave your state
ever, no vacations.
And don't die either, because if you die, then that also kicks in too.
Yeah.
If you don't leave your state, are you going to have a problem? Most likely not. But inheritance rights, what happens? Custody, guardianship of your children, if you get divorced or if you die. It's things that people don't want to think about.
Yep.
Yeah.
Death and divorce.
We always go back to that story. Judy Gold brought it up when we interviewed her, of the couple in Florida, lesbian couple. They were at Disney. One of the moms had a heart attack. Or a stroke, was in the hospital bed dying, and the staff wouldn't let
the kids or the wife. They weren't married at the time. There was no federal, you know, you couldn't be married.
Yeah, this was a while ago.
In Florida or whatever. So,
but it's that kind of thing.
So right now there's a case that's at the Supreme Court. It's called the Fulton versus City of Philadelphia, where they are saying that if you are an entity that receives taxpayer money and you're a religious organization, you can discriminate based on your religious beliefs. So it's an adoption agency that will not place children with a gay family. And the city of Philadelphia was like, we're not giving kids to you then. Like, we're not going to place kids with your organization if you're going to discriminate. And it's now up to the Supreme Court to decide, can they do that, because they're receiving taxpayer dollars? Yeah, it is. Do I think they're going to overturn gay marriage? I don't. But cases like this, where they're slowly chipping things away, where organizations can say, well, I receive taxpayer dollars, I'm a religious entity, we live near a religious hospital, they could say to me, no.
Yeah.
So it's stuff like that. And with the healthcare proxy, if I am my wife's healthcare proxy, they have to let me in. they have to give me her information and they have to listen to what I have to say based on her needs and wants. God forbid something were to happen. And I think COVID brought this to the forefront of a lot of people's minds that one day some really healthy young person could need to be intubated. And to have that, like if they're going to say, well, we're not going to recognize your marriage again, even though federally right now they need to, you can say, well, here's my legal document. I'm actually the healthcare proxy that I need to. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, shit. I need to get a healthcare proxy now.
Yeah, God, you do, Jamie.
It just never
Come
ends.
Come on, Jamie. Come on, Jamie.
Right. I think that when you're young and when you're healthy, you don't think about that.
Yeah.
And that's okay. It's okay. That's what this is. This what this resource database is for, to just say like, hey, here's some things you might want to consider.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Maybe you do it piecemeal because yes, I get it. It's expensive. But straight people need to do it too.
Yep.
Right. This is not just for, but why not go to somebody who's been vetted that is
exactly.
a huge LGBTQ. Wow. What happened to me?
Such a LGBTQ. Mouthful sometimes.
That's never happened. Such a huge LGBTQ advocate.
Yep.
Go to this database anyway and pick one of those. So we give them more business.
And when we air this podcast, you will be live already. Knock wood. I'm knocking wood for you. So tell people where to go right now to see what they need and who they can get in touch with.
Well, thank you. So the business is called Connecting Rainbows and it's connectingrainbows.org.
Okay, perfect.
And what Easy. About social if they want to follow you? Because you have a lovely little following on
lovely
over on the IG.
You have a social account.
Oh, well, thank you. Well, my personal one is Jenna Jaffe, which is G-E-N-A. But the business has one as well. It's connectingrainbows.org.
Okay, Connecting awesome.
Rainbows. I love the name too. I think it's a great name.
I do. Too. I like rainbows. My son loves rainbows. And yeah, I was like, you know, we're connecting the gay community to the people that can help the gay people and the, you know.
We see what you did there. We see what you did there.
We see what you did. We see you. Thank you so much for sharing your story with us. It was so wonderful.
Thanks for having me.
Really great. And thanks for doing the good work.
Thank you.
Oh, Jenna Jaffe.
Jenna Jaffe. I love her.
She is a busy lady.
I feel like, once again, I feel like everybody's doing better than me.
Everybody is doing better than us. And I think once we accept it, we'll just be better off.
She's awesome.
We should stop trying to think that at some point we are going to be doing better than one of our guests, because we're not.
No, I feel like everybody handles everything better.
But I love what she's up to. Like that organization, she gets that power. When she gets that powered and up and running, I mean, it has launched since the interview. It's going to be invaluable to people.
Yes, what a wonderful resource. Come on now.
So everybody make sure Connecting Rainbows.
Get on that. Look at this LGBTQ community. I can't even say the word community.
You're
That's
drunk.
How
I Have know. You been drinking with Helen? Thank you, Helen.
Helen gave me a cup of tea. It was full of whiskey. I don't even know.
We didn't have to drink it, Jamie. You could put it down and say, Helen, this is booze. I need tea. All right, folks. Go get our book. Helen wants you to buy it. It's called If These Ovaries Could Talk, The Things We've Learned About Making an LGBTQ Family. And it is available at all major retailers. Oh, but if you want to buy locally, just check IndieBound. And that is a great way to get it.
There's that. And also, you can get the audiobook if you want us to read to you at night and all times of the day or in the morning, whenever we'll read to you. That's available.
On your commute.
In
your car.
Yeah, when you ever get a commute again. That's available on Amazon and iTunes, and it's good.
And if you get it, don't be afraid to review us and rate it on Amazon or Goodreads or on Google, because it does help us surface the book to more folks.
More and more folks. Well, you know what? Let's keep this conversation going. You can join us on our social. If you haven't joined us on our social, I don't know what you're waiting for.
You have to ask yourself why, haven't you?
I mean, even Helen has joined us on the social. So
I know.
This is what we are. This is where you can find us. We are Ovaries Talk on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. On YouTube, we are If These Ovaries Could Talk, and you're going to see recordings of our live streams. And don't forget, our live streams are every Thursday at 4 p.m. on Facebook and YouTube.
And you can also support the podcast and join our community on Patreon, patreon.com/ovariestalk. Don't forget, you're going to get bonus content over there.
And full video interviews. It's amazing.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Well, we have to give a huge thank you to our sponsors, Bulldog Yoga, Modern Fertility, and Generate Life Sciences. And a big thank you to all of our Patreons. You are helping us make this show. We thank you. We cannot thank you enough.
At that moment, Jamie, it might be time to say eggs.
Ovaries.
This is not sustainable.
Only way to go is up.
Only way to go is up.
Out.
If these ovaries could talk, they would say, eggs, ovaries, out.
You've got enough on your plate. Mundane meals shouldn't be one of them. Get an endless variety of the freshest, best-tasting food from award-winning chefs delivered to your door with Cook Unity, all at a fraction of the cost and time you're spending now. Take a load off and leave your meal prep to Cook Unity. Affordable food crafted by award-winning chefs delivered straight to your door. Go to cookunity.com/podcast or enter code podcast before checkout for 50% off your first week.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.